Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in the meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. Well, how few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. This is the list of the 12 he sent. Simon, they called him Peter or Rock, Andrew his brother, James, Zebedee's son, John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax man, James son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who later turned on him. Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that God's kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchables, kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day. Travel light. When you enter a town or village, don't insist on staying in a luxury inn. Get a modest place with modest people and be content there until you leave. When you knock on the door, be courteous in your greeting. If they welcome you, be gentle in your conversation and say, "Peace be with you." If they don't welcome you, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. You can be sure that on Judgment Day, they'll be mighty sorry. But that's no concern of yours now. The Word of the Lord. As much as I like to travel, I'm never sure how much to pack. When my wife and I fly out to Albuquerque for vacation this Friday, we will do our best to keep a week's worth of possessions down to one suitcase. That's the goal. I'm not certain it's going to happen. Because, you know, packing is determined by 2 contradictory principles. How much do we need to take to keep moving quickly? And how can we be prepared for every contingency? How many pairs of pants should I take? Or in my wife's case, how many pairs of shoes? Should we take an umbrella? Does it rain in New Mexico? How about a suit jacket in case our hosts take us out to dinner? And I know we've booked a very small rental car. Will more than one suitcase fit in the back? Packing is an art form. People spend inordinate amounts of time on this. I recently printed off a very wise article called "How to Pack Like a Ninja." It's great advice in the article. Roll up your t-shirts and take one less than you think you're going to need. Roll up your socks and put them inside the shoes. It keeps the shoes from getting crushed. It uses unused space. Wear a jacket onto the plane. Don't waste valuable suitcase square footage. But on the other hand, it is possible to forget the essentials. like the kid of mine who was in a hurry to get out of the house and spend Friday night with some friends. Around 11 that evening, I got a frantic phone call and a sheepish voice whispered, "Dad, could you bring over some underwear? But whatever you do, don't tell my friends." "Of course I won't tell your friends. I'll save the story for a sermon." Happy Father's Day. So I was paying close attention when Jesus sent out 12 of his followers. He gave them the authority to do his work and sent them out to travel around as he has been traveling around. And the best advice at the heart of his commission, don't take anything with you. In Eugene Peterson's translation, he sends them saying, "Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood, bring health to the sick, raise the dead," that's not too much to ask, "touch the untouchables, kick out the demons, you've been treated generously, live generously, and travel light." Well, of course, too much baggage can get in the way. I recall that family trip years ago to attend a cousin's wedding somewhere from between Las Vegas and Barstow, California. In the middle of the Mojave Desert, our rental car got a flat tire, 100 miles shy of Barstow. The tire was changed with a spare, but the punctured tire wouldn't fit underneath where the spare came from. And there was no room for the tire inside the car because there was too much luggage for a 5-day trip. So it had to go on somebody's lap. Travel light, that's good advice. Yet Jesus pushes it to extremes. Carry no bag for your journey. Take no sandals, no walking stick. Forget about an extra shirt. And don't take any money. Reminds me of the hazing story my father told after joining a college fraternity. They blindfolded him late one night, put him in the trunk of a car, drove him around for 45 minutes, stopped somewhere and told him to get out. He had no wallet, no money, no compass, no flashlight, no jacket, and they said, "See you back at the fraternity house, figure out how you're gonna get there," and sped away. Obviously, he made it back, or I wouldn't be telling the story. And he never did say how he did it. He only said it wasn't easy. Well, Jesus isn't hazing anybody. He's sending them out to do ministry. He's been healing a lot of people, an awful lot of people, and there's more work to get done than he can finish. He's a human being, not a Superman. A human being can only put in so many 18-hour days, can only be in one place at a time. So he calls out 12 of his followers to extend the work. And he gives them direction and commissions them to go, and then says, "Don't pack anything." Well, that's not to say he doesn't give them anything. Because you know what he gives them? You know what he gives us? A small little sack of words. When you go somewhere, say the kingdom of God has come near to you. That is, the God who is ruling over heaven and earth is right here. And the second thing you say is, "Peace be to this house." What I give you, that's what you have to carry. Nothing else is necessary. I am sending you out there to a world full of need with a handful of words. In a way, that's a relief. The words Jesus gives are simple words. They're easy to remember, not too burdensome to carry. And it's good to be reminded that God's work can be done without a lot of props. We need no bag, no sandals, no purse, no flip charts, no brochures, no PowerPoint presentations, no website. It's a reminder that the props can get in the way. Years ago, when my sister worked at a Presbyterian summer camp, she returned with a book that they used every day for morning devotions. It was a snarky little book full of wise-cracking little parables, which is precisely why it's still on my shelf. Here's one of my favorites. In a certain town, an advertising executive decided to sell God. She invited clients to a presentation and then got busy. She converted the God message to a variety of abstract images projected onto a screen. Next, she added a catchy soundtrack with guitars and drums, and finally, booked a caterer to serve drinks and hors d'oeuvres in a softly lit room. As her clients arrived, she chatted with them casually. Then came the pitch. Afterwards, people complimented her creative approach. She was pleased and said, "I'm glad you like it." And then with a chuckle, she added, "I hope you'll buy my product." They looked confused, bewildered, uncomfortable, until finally one said, "Are you selling something?" The props can get in the way. Contrast that with what writer Frederick Buechner famously wrote about Alcoholics Anonymous. They meet in basements and spare rooms because an addiction is ruining their lives. They have no budget, no hierarchy, no liturgy, no building of their own. They simply tell their own stories, where they went wrong, how they're trying to go right, how they find the strength and hope to keep going on. He says there's not much more to it than that. And it seems to be enough. Healing happens. Miracles are made. That's what the church is meant to be, he says. Sinners Anonymous. Hi, my name is Bill. I send you without a bag or sandals or purse, he says. Don't get me wrong, those things are nice, but in the ultimate economy of God, we are given a few words. Because the words can carry the freight of the gospel. And not just any words, the right kinds of words. God knows he gives us these words of blessing and these words of truth. When you go to a house, says Jesus, say a blessing. Say, "Peace be to this house." It makes no demand. It requires no decision. It simply announces that the salvation Jesus comes to bring is here. Someone puts it, when you speak like that, you release God's good news into the air, and God offers peace to all within hearing. And anyone hungering for that kind of wholeness is free to respond on their own terms. And when you go into a town, said Jesus, tell people the truth. Eat with them, heal their sick, paint their houses, even mow their yards, but don't forget to say, God's kingdom has come near to you. That's the ultimate truth. Because the good deeds are fine, but we set them in the context of what God is trying to do in the world. After all, it's God's rule, not yours or mine or theirs. Its coming doesn't depend on us. The kingdom comes regardless of the good deeds we do or forget to do. God's reign breaks into human history. We're going to hear about it all through Matthew this summer. So he says, speak up and say so. Announce that God is here. That just like old Abram and Sarah, there's a new possibility at hand. D. Do you think that's true? And do you think that can be carried through our words? My friend Leslie called Wednesday, interrupted my lunch. I'm on the way to the hospital. My 92-year-old organist has just had a stroke. I'm not sure if she's going to make it. What do I do? I said, go. I'm not sure I have the right book. You don't need a book. Go. You already have what you need. Do you think that's true? Walter Wangerin, the Lutheran storyteller, talks about his church organist. She was an imposing woman named Jocelyn Fields. And at 47, she was stricken with cancer. Spring, summer, autumn, he went to visit the woman. He said he didn't know what to say. He didn't have the right to know what to say. He said, I wore out the Psalms. The Psalms are safe. I prayed the Lord's will be done, but I was scared to tell either the Lord or Jocelyn, but I thought the Lord's will ought to be. By his own estimation, he bumbled. One day, when she awoke from surgery, he decided to go, and he would be cheerful and enliven her and avoid the specter that frightened him, her death. He chattered, he spoke brightly of the sunlight outside and vigorously of the tennis he had played that morning and sweetly of the flowers the church had brought by and hopefully of the day that she would sit back at the organ reading sheet music during his sermon. But Jocelyn rolled a black eye his way. She raised one bony finger to his face and she said, shut up. So he shut up and kept visiting her. And so Walt writes, the autumn whitened into winter and Jocelyn became no more than bones. Her rich skin turned ashy, her breath filled the room with a close odor. And the day came when I had nothing, absolutely nothing to say to Jocelyn. He said, I entered her door at noon, saying nothing. I sat beside her through the afternoon, saying nothing. She lay awake, her eyelids paper thin and drooping watchful eyes, we neither of us saying anything. But with the evening came the Holy Spirit, and the words I finally said were not my own. Walt said, I turned to Jocelyn, I opened my mouth and said, I love you. And Jocelyn widened her ebony eye, and that lady, she put out her arms, she hugged me. I hugged those dying bones, and she whispered, I love you. That was all we said. But that was the power from on high, he said, cloaking both of us in astonished simplicity, even as Jesus said it would. Jocelyn died, and Walt says, I didn't have to grieve, for the yellow fingers of death had already lost their grip. Behold, says Jesus, I send you, all of you, oh, even you, out into the world to do my work. And you don't need a fat purse or a bag or brand new sandals. All he gives us are a handful of words, words of blessing, peace be with you. Words of truth, God is ruling and close at hand. Above all else, words of love. That's all we need. That's all we're given. And it's enough. So where is God sending you today? and calling on you to speak.